with you this morning. I want to invite you to come with me once again to that greatest of sermons, the Sermon on the Mount. For the last number of weeks we've been making our way through this great sermon. We find ourselves now in the 7th chapter of Matthew. It's recorded in Matthew chapters 5, 6, and 7. In the 7th chapter of Matthew, specifically this morning, we're going to look at verses 13 and 14. We have seen in our discussion, in our study, our consideration of this great sermon, that Jesus is laying before us two ways of life. In the Sermon on the Mount, we've said that is the manifesto, the public declaration of the kingdom of God. Jesus has been revealing to us the way of the kingdom of God, the way of kingdom of God people. We have seen that we now, by faith, dwell in the kingdom of God as we kneel our hearts before God in submission as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The way of the kingdom of God. But we've seen as we've been looking at this, that the way of the kingdom of God is often in stark contrast to the way of the kingdom of this world. The way of the kingdom of this world. So Jesus has been pointing out that high calling that is upon us, to, by faith in Christ as our Savior, live as children of the King, to live in the kingdom of God. Jesus now is beginning to bring this great sermon to a conclusion. And we're going to see that Jesus says to us something that sometimes we don't want to hear. He says, we must make a choice. We must make a choice. Let's go to the text. In Matthew 7, verses 13 and 14, Jesus, who as you know has the power to use simple metaphors to teach great truths, says this, "Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate, and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it." Jesus said, make a choice. You know that last weekend we were blessed to have some friends come in from out of town. And we had the privilege, as probably you do when you have friends come, to enjoy some of the beautiful restaurants we have here in the Lower Mainland. And as I was thinking about choices, I was reminded that we went to one restaurant and the menu was one page. Just one page. Don't you love a restaurant like that? It suggests that they don't do much, but what they do well. And it makes it really easy to choose. In the same weekend, we went to a restaurant that had 16 pages in their menu. You know? You seen those kinds of restaurants? I hate those kinds of restaurants. Well, often the food is good. But you have to make a choice, right? None of us really want to be put in a position where we have to make a choice. It makes us uncomfortable sometimes. But you know, I was also thinking about this. That as much as we hate to make choices in restaurants, if we fail to make a choice, what happens? We don't eat, right? We have to make a choice if we want to eat. So in a very simple way, Jesus is saying, I've been teaching you about two ways. The way of the kingdom of heaven and the way of the kingdom of this world. Now, you must make a choice. Now you must make a choice. And very powerfully, he points out what this means for us today and every day as we choose the way of the kingdom. In this text, Jesus reveals two gates, two roads, two destinations, and two travelers. Two gates, two roads, two destinations, and two travelers. Two gates. A gate, of course, symbolizes an entrance into a road. In other words, it suggests that thing that we hate, it suggests a deliberate choice. If Jesus says there's a gate, he's clearly saying it's there to go through, right? You have to choose the gate. And I think in the context of the sermon, he's not simply saying choose me as your Savior, though clearly that's a part of it, a very important part of it. He's saying choose to live as kingdom of heaven people. Choose to live in the kingdom. Choose to live by the values, the practices, and the lifestyles of the kingdom of heaven. I think that's a choice that we make every day. I think it's a choice that we make many times through the day as we face various challenges and issues that we have to deal with throughout the day. So Jesus said there's a gate, you must choose it. He said there's two gates. There's the wide gate and there's the narrow gate. And of course we can easily understand the picture he's drawing for us. That the wide gate represents the natural choice, the easy choice, the easy entrance. It takes no sacrifice. It doesn't really require much from us to just simply go through the wide gate. That's easy. We understand that's what Jesus is saying. But then he says there's a narrow gate or a small gate. Jesus uses this picture to suggest that this gate requires spiritual vision. It requires clear intention. You can't always see the small gate. The wide gate is easy to find. But the small gate requires intention. You have to look for it. We need spiritual vision to see it and to find it. Jesus uses this in another way with a different metaphor a little later in Matthew. In Matthew chapter 19, beginning in about verse 16, we find that parable that we sometimes call the parable of the rich young ruler. You remember the rich man who came to Jesus and said, "What can I do to find eternal life?" And so Jesus reminded him of the commandments, and he said, I've kept all of the commandments. Do you remember where that story went? He said, "That's great. I'm really proud of you. You've kept all the commandments. Now do this. Take all that you have, give it to the poor, and come and follow me." And in the parable it says the man walked away sad because he was wealthy. And Jesus went on to use that powerful metaphor that it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than a rich man to get into heaven. What's the point of the parable? The point of the parable is not that rich people can't go to heaven. Right? That's not the point. The point is that the gate to the kingdom of heaven is narrow, and we must give up our love for the things of this kingdom. We can't enter it if we love money, if we love material things, if we love ourselves too much, if we love the ways of this world. We must be willing to get rid of all of that baggage because it doesn't fit with us through that narrow gate. That's the picture that Jesus is drawing. The eye of a needle. Two gates. The wide gate and the narrow gate. Now a gate always leads to a road. And so Jesus tells us here that the wide gate leads to the broad road. And just like the wide gate represents the easy way, so the broad road represents the easy road. The natural choice. It means simply going with the flow of the dominant culture. Following our natural inclinations. It requires no real energy or intent on our part. Just continue to follow along with the flow of time, with the flow of culture, with the flow of nature. Just follow that. It's the wide gate and the wide road. But Jesus calls us to the small gate. And that small gate leads to the narrow road. The narrow road. Let me hasten to say, it does not say the narrow-minded road. Sometimes the church gets accused of, and maybe sometimes we are guilty of this, of being narrow-minded. That's not what Jesus said, right? Let's not put words in his mouth. Jesus said it's a narrow road. What does he mean by a narrow road? What is the picture he's trying to draw? Well, I think what Jesus is trying to say to us is this, that this road is the walk of discipline, of self-control. It's a road with clear boundaries of right and wrong and good and evil. You've picked up on that in the Sermon on the Mount, right? He clearly said there are some things that are right and there are some things that are wrong. There are some things that are good and there are some things that are evil. The world today, the kingdom of this world doesn't want to hear that, right? They don't want to hear that kind of talk about right and wrong and good and bad. But Jesus said the road is narrow. There's clear boundaries, clear expectations, a road of discipline, a road of self-control, a road of obedience. Of discipleship. The wide gate leads to the broad road. The small gate leads to the narrow road. The road of discipline. The road of choosing the right and the good. Two gates. lead to two roads. And those two roads lead to two destinations. A road always leads to a destination. And the reason Jesus uses the picture of a road is because it's just another way of saying every choice has a consequence. If you choose this gate and this road, it's taking you somewhere. If you choose this gate and this road, it's taking you somewhere. Every choice has a consequence. Somehow within the sovereign will and power of God, he's teaching us here that he gives us the ability to choose. He gives us the ability to choose. We have the freedom, the right to choose, it would seem Jesus is saying. But he's also saying that we do not have the right to avoid the consequences of our choice. Did you hear what I said? We can choose the way we're going to go, but we don't get to get a pass on the consequences of our choices. So Jesus is saying there's two destinations. These roads are leading you in two directions. The wide road, the wide gate, which is leading to the broad road, Jesus says leads to destruction. Destruction. I was really caught with understanding what this word destruction means. What is Jesus trying to tell us with this word destruction? What does he mean when he says if you take the broad, the wide gate and the broad road, it leads to destruction? Well, it's a very interesting word. In the original language, it means ruin, complete loss, or no longer usable for the intended purpose. Let me say that again. The word that Jesus chose can mean no longer usable for the intended purpose. How tragic when someone misses their purpose in life. You know people like that? You probably maybe talked about people. You know, who had a great calling, a great gifting, a great ability, great promise, and they lost it all for some reason. We always say how sad that is. Well, that's the picture of what Jesus is drawing here. He's saying that if we choose the easy way, the natural inclination, the predominant culture, we just go through with the flow, we're going to miss out on the purpose that he created us for. How sad. How sad to miss out on God's purpose, on God's calling, on God's work in our life, and his plan for our place in his kingdom. It leads to destruction, and of course we know there is a final exit to that road, which is eternal separation from God. The wide gate and the broad road leads to destruction. The small gate, on the other hand, and the narrow road leads to life. Life. I should have done this. You can do it, I'm sure, quickly on your computer. How many times is the word life used in the Bible? In connection with God. I wouldn't know, but I'm sure it must be thousands, right? If the Bible talks about anything, it talks about life. Because God is life. He is life. And when we're in him, we have life. Jesus said in John 10:10, in me you will have abundant life. I love that word, abundant life. What is abundant life? You know, we intuitively know that there's more to life than just existing. Don't we? Have you ever said that or talked to someone about that? There's more to life than just breathing in and out. We are always looking for abundant life, which means a life of meaning, a life of purpose, a life that is joyful, a life that is hopeful, a life with some peace. Those are the things we all want. Jesus said, that's the kind of life I offer you. Abundant life, joyful, peaceful, hopeful, meaningful, purposeful life. Abundant life in Jesus Christ. And then, of course, eternal life in Jesus Christ. Eternal life. What is eternal life? Now, we don't have time this morning to talk about all the ins and outs of eternal life, but let me just say this. Eternal life is more than just living forever. Let me give you one description of eternal life. It's in Philippians chapter 3, verses 20 and 21. Paul writes, but our citizenship is in heaven. In other words, we belong to the kingdom of heaven. And we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control, will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. Now, we don't even begin to have time to think about what that could mean this morning, right? But that's eternal life. That's just one description of eternal life. Having a glorious body like unto Christ. Two gates lead to two roads. And these roads lead to two destinations. And Jesus said there are two kinds of travelers on those roads. The broad road, Jesus tells us, is traveled by the many. The many. We've already said that it is the natural choice. The way we just go if we don't make any other choice, right? And it is our natural inclination to want to travel with the majority, right? That's just somewhere deep within us. We want to go with the crowd. We want to follow the crowd. It's the easiest choice. It's the safest choice, we think. But I think all of us here this morning are mature enough to know that the majority is not always on the right road, right? They're not always going in the right direction. The majority are not always pursuing Christ. I found this quote by a Senator James Reed from a previous generation. He said, "The majority crucified Christ. The majority burned the Christians at the stake. The majority established slavery. The majority jeered when Columbus declared the world was round. The majority threw him into a dungeon for having discovered a new world. Christ always calls us to follow the lifestyle of the minority opinion. Christ always calls us to follow the lifestyle of the minority opinion. The majority must never be the barometer for our choices. Right? The crowd are doing it. Everyone else is doing it. We'll just follow along. That's the broad road. That's the travelers on the broad road, the many. But then Jesus said this, the narrow road is traveled by a few. A few. Earlier in this great sermon, back in chapter 5, Jesus has warned the travelers of the narrow road, those who are serious, radical about living by the way of the kingdom, would be insulted and persecuted and slandered by the world. But Jesus said we can rejoice and be glad because we are one of the few. We're one of the few. Remember this morning that being one of the few is a place of exaltation. It's a high calling. I don't know if the Marines use this logo anymore, this motto. But you may remember the motto they used one time. You'd see it sometimes on American TV. Remember the motto for the Marines? It was three short sentences. Remember? It was what? The few, the proud, the Marines. The few, the proud, the Marines. What's the point of that logo? The point is saying that only a very few can make it into this elite place called the Marines. The few isn't suggesting that the Marines are made up of the sad sacks who are kind of left over. After everybody else has done their own thing and gone their own way, people have nothing else to do. Come be with us. That's definitely not what the Marines were saying, was it? Right? But you know, we understand as a church, or we should understand as a church, that Jesus said we're the few. And sometimes we get thinking this way, we're just the sad sacks left over. How sad for us. You know, I hear Christians talking that way. I go to conferences and places where I hear Christians talking that way. How sad for us. We're just the few left over. I see it totally different. Jesus sees it, I should say. Totally different. He proudly says, we're the few. We are the few. We're the few who are called. We are the few who have chosen by God's grace through his power to walk through the narrow gate, to follow the narrow road to life. Peter put it this way. I love Peter's description of you and me this morning as believers in Christ. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9, he said, "You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His wonderful light." The next time someone says, "Oh, we're just the few, us poor Christians lived here in Canada, everybody's forgotten us, culture's moved on, we're just the sad sacks left behind," read the scripture to them. We are the chosen people. We are the royal priesthood. We are the few. We are the few. By God's grace, we are the few. My sermon title is "The Choice is Clear." The choice is clear. Will it be the small gate? Will it be the wide gate and the broad road? Will it be the small gate and the narrow road? Let's pray. Our Father, we understand clearly what Jesus is saying to us here this morning. And Lord, we want to make the right choice. We want to make the choice that leads to life. We want to make the choice that says we're one of the few, called of you to a high purpose. Lord, by your grace, help us to make that choice each day. And Father, I pray if there's someone here this morning struggling with making that choice, I pray that you will give them peace and victory to step through and to walk that road, the road to life.